Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I hope you've had a good week. There's a lot going on, like always. Those that are fasting, keep it up. I think it's more needed now than it's ever been in our history. Those that are memorizing the verses, I know you will be blessed for doing that. And I always picture it this way. If someday we're having to be incarcerated for our beliefs, we'll be glad that we memorized God's word and have those verses to go over in our minds as we're sitting there. One of the things that is significant, of course, the trucker convoy in America is starting this week. And I'm thankful for that. I think it's a great thing. I encourage people to be involved. But I also know that we need to be so careful that it is not hijacked by people that are against us, by government officials that will try to turn it to be used to their advantage. I just know that's going to happen. All it takes is them subverting one truck and ramming it into something or one thing to then be able to create a narrative that's a total lie of what the movement was about and what the purpose of it was. But also then, like we've seen in Canada, a free country up until this week. It's been a free country. It's not anymore. They absolutely have a dictatorship when the head person politically can seize bank accounts of any who oppose him peacefully even. Well, you do not have a free country. You don't have, it's not even the illusion of a free country. But I know they need something big this year before the elections. Another January 6th type thing that they can create the narrative and they can push the propaganda out that patriotism equals terrorism and Republican Party and conservative people are enemies of this country. And again, they always flip everything to the opposite of the truth, but I think that's something we just need to be very cautious over. I think a great thing the truckers of America could do is if 50% of them picked a week that they're all going to go home and take a week vacation. 7 days, all the Walmart truckers, all the from every business in America, 7 days they go home and spend time with their families like they should anyway. And America would get to see quickly how desperate in need we are of those people that are providing all the things that we consume and need for our lives. And I think that would have even a far greater effect than this, where then if those truckers came and said, cut the mandates or we're going to stay home, it would bring the government to its knees. It would have to obey. It would have to listen and have to realize, okay, we better stop all these unconstitutional things that we're doing. But I hope this has a positive effect too. But I know that they know this is happening. They see the websites. They see, okay, here's their plans. How can we subvert those plans? They're preparing that right now, guaranteed. And we need to pray that it doesn't work and their efforts will be exposed for what they're trying to do. Those watching on all the different platforms, I really encourage you to go to agendaweekly.com and to become a subscriber. We need to all be supporting things that are trying to spread the truth. I encourage you to be a subscriber to maybe 5-10 different sources like this one of people that are desperately trying to get the truth out and educate others on what we can do and what's really going on. We need to be supportive of that. I mean, I think the reason we've not had good information for the last 50 years is because our side's not willing to support it most of the time. They want it. But, I don't want to pay for it. I want everything for free. We got to stop that mentality. If you enjoy this, you need to subscribe. If there's other things that you enjoy and are benefited by, you need to subscribe to them. I would take at least $100 out of your income each month just to give to different outlets that are spreading truth, like Epic Times, I've talked about them. You have to subscribe and get their newspaper. It's wonderful every single week. The New American Magazine, you need to subscribe and get the two magazines a month that will help you be informed. And then you can spread that information to others. But there's a lot of other different sources of information like Agenda Weekly. Find 4 or 5 of them and subscribe, pay the $5 a month or whatever. It helps give them the ability to stand for you and to research and to dig in so we really know what the truth is. Today, I'm going to talk about the next stop on the road we're traveling is 1984. Spartan Notes has a summary of the book. Here it is. Listen carefully. 1984 ultimately explores the dangers of totalitarianism and warns against a world governed by propaganda, surveillance, and censorship. Think of our country today. Propaganda. Is there any propaganda going on? That's almost all that there is. Surveillance. It's increasing every single day. And censorship, it's increasing every single day. The Department of Justice says mis, dis, and malinformation is the number one threat we face, and so they're going to start censoring everything. The lady that is running for the FCC right now before the Senate is a radical leftist who does not believe in free speech, and that's where we are, but that's what we're going to be talking about today. Thank you again for joining me. In the book 1984, George Orwell writes, quote, "Then the face of Big Brother faded away again, and instead the three slogans of the party stood out in bold capitals. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength," unquote. That is exactly where we are today. You have to capture the narrative of what's going on. And they've done that through the media, Hollywood, education. And then the narrative that you're pushing, and this is a key thing that was exposed in 1984, and we see it today. And then we look through history and we see it's always this way. The narrative, once you are in control of it, the narrative has to be a lie. You can never have the narrative be the truth. It always has to be a lie. That's what brainwashing is. That's how you get control of people, is by doing that. And so as you dig in and study and you look around the world today and in books like 1984, you realize not only does the narrative need to be a lie, it has to be a lie that is the exact opposite of the truth. That's strategic. It's key. I mean, brainwashing is the end game of this. And so it always has to be the opposite. We look at the trucker convoy in Canada. Okay, I watched over 40 hours of live streaming of on-the-ground people just simply walking around showing you what was going on, interviewing people. They weren't giving you any of their opinions. They were just saying, here's what's going on. You can see for yourself. And anyone that did that and took the time to do that, you see, it was the most peaceful, sweet, kind, loving crowd I've ever seen anywhere. I've never seen a crowd like that in America anywhere that was so, just had such self-control and such calmness and such respect for authority and such, I mean, it was just crazy. But what were we told? What was the narrative by the media? You know, like war is peace. What was the narrative? Yeah, it's the exact opposite. The truckers are taking food from the homeless, right out of their mouths. They're starving them to death. Well, of course, the reality, if you were there for 40 hours like I was via live stream, they were feeding the homeless. The homeless have never been better off in Ottawa than they were during the 3 weeks of the Freedom Convoy, ever. And what's the narrative? By the propagandists, by big government, they're starving the homeless to death. That's 1984, people. That's right where we are. We have to face that. We think it's a future destination. And I'm just wanting to tell you, we have arrived. What did they say? They're trashing the city. What's the reality? The city had never been cleaner. They took black plastic bags and tied it to every lamppost so people would have a place to put their trash. They were sweeping up the city, picking up trash, taking care of the war memorial when they were told, no, they're trying to destroy the war memorial. And they're like, no, we want to protect it and take care of it and allow the veterans and people that had relatives that died in the different wars to be able to come and put flowers on it, because they had put a fence around it saying, oh, they're going to destroy it. They said, no, we would never destroy that. It's so meaningful, and we love it. But they said they're trashing the city. Violent. It was just a violent extremism when it was the most peaceful, loving protest in history. It wasn't anything like the protests in America or in the European countries or anywhere else. And so that's the narrative. And the final thing, it was all racist. The whole point of it was racism. When, if you took the time to watch the live streams, you found that there was a Nazi flag there the first day. One Nazi flag. But it wasn't from someone that was in support of the Nazis or those ideas. It was someone holding it up saying, this is what's going to happen to Canada if we allow government to overstep its bounds and ignore our charter rights and the freedoms we've been given. But Justin Trudeau, just an evil, vile wretch, he took that. All it was is Nazis there. When one day, of the hundreds of thousands of people that showed up over the 3 weeks, one person had a Nazi flag, but he had it there to say, no, we don't want to go down this road, and this is where we are going to be. It's so funny to me, all the people crying racism, even in America, the Democrats, the liberals, on everything, they are trying to create a fascist America. If you look, oh, who's supporting them? Big business. Who are for totalitarian controls on the freedoms of the people? They are. But they keep pointing to the people that are crying, no, we want freedom. We want constitutional rights to be upheld. Oh, they're fascist. Well, if you study fascism, it's just like communism, almost a twin of it, except in the economic realm, big government is saddled up with big business, allowing big business to run the business so there's an income stream to the government. But everything else is identical. It's totalitarian from the top down on everything. Communism just thought, oh, the government's going to run business too. And every communist learned during the experiment in the Soviet Union, we don't know how to run things. So fascism is the road forward for all leftists, all totalitarian dictatorships. Fascism is the road forward. So even the communists, therefore a fascist system where big business, big government are together, they fund each other, support each other, and crush any competition to either one, and they'll, you know, defund your bank accounts, your campaigns, or whatever. Big business will do that if government tells them to, because they know government will pass the laws that make it impossible for competition to spring up with big business, and it just, that's the world we're in right now. Now, a lot of people talk about 1984 by George Orwell, and A Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. They talk about those, and some say, oh, we're heading toward a brave new world, and some say 1984. I want to tell you, I believe 100% it is 1984. In A Brave New World, the people were dumbed down and then drugged up. They were all on drugs, so they didn't really care about what was going on around them. It made them just submissive subjects that would do whatever they're told. And there's some of that going today, the entertainment, the iPhones, where everyone is so consumed with self, so consumed with entertaining themselves, so consumed with just being in their own little bubble where they have no real relationships. They're not observing what's going on around them because they're staring at their phone. So there's similarities to that. But 1984 said they were going to use propaganda to brainwash and then fear to control. And I just think that's the road we're on, because although we have some similarities to A Brave New World, fear is the most powerful weapon that they have, and they will be using it. They have to make us fearful of big government. Oh, they're going to seize my bank account. Where we're so paralyzed with fear, we will not even go to a peaceful protest against them or donate to someone that's going to a peaceful protest, because we're like, no, they might seize my bank account. I might lose my job. I mean, right now what's going on in Canada, it's hard to believe it's going on right now. But that's what's happening. Oh, you gave $25 or $50 to support these peaceful protesters? Well, guess what? Your bank account is frozen. and now we're going to review your life and see if you're worthy of having those funds returned to you, or we're going to erase you. That's going on today. I'm not telling you, well, you know what, in a few years this could be happening. It's happening today in the free world, okay? And I think it's coming to America a lot sooner than we would ever believe. So 1984, of course, is the road we're on, and China is the model. And we see the propaganda, surveillance, and censorship in China is almost complete. You cannot go anywhere and hear anything different than the party line. You're being surveillanced all day long, every day. And then the censorship, nothing is allowed except the party line. And that is the model for the world, and that's where we are. Here's a few more quotes that are so important. Quote, every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book rewritten, every picture has been repainted, every statue and street building has been renamed, every date has been altered, and the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. We talked about that not too long ago. They're rewriting history nowadays as it happens. Of course, they're rewriting the past as fast as they can, but they've learned now, since they have control of media and education in Hollywood, they can actually change it as it is happening, as we saw on January 6th. And that's where we are, but that was a key part of 1984. They said this, who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. The party understands that by rewriting the events of the past and controlling the narrative of history, they can maintain their position of authority. That's what they're doing in America today. Why are they brainwashing our children? That's why. The ultimate goal in that is, as you keep rewriting history and present, then as the older generation dies off, the younger generation doesn't know what it used to be like. So there's no comparison to show how you're on a downward trajectory, not up. And so when they tell you, no, things are better than they've ever been, you don't know if that's true or not, so you just believe them. That was a key element in 1984. The party member tolerates present-day conditions because he has no standards of comparison. He must be cut off from the past, just as he must be cut off from foreign countries, because it is necessary for him to believe that he is better off than his ancestors and that the average level of material comfort is constantly rising, unquote. That's from 1984. That's exactly today. So bash the past that you think, man, that must have been horrible to be alive back then. It's not that bad today. Things are getting better. Well, just over my life, I see how we've just been sliding into the pit my entire life. Life in the 70s growing up compared to today, just the neighborhoods and your relationships with your neighbors and how kind and thoughtful people were of each other and how everyone was protecting the young. And now no one is. Everyone's hiding inside their homes, staring at their 6-foot TVs every waking moment that they're not at work. Well, we have not been heading the right direction. Another key aspect is newspeak, okay? It's very similar to our political correctness today, which is there to destroy our ability to communicate with each other. But here's what George Orwell said, quote, don't you see that the whole aim of newspeak is to narrow the range of thoughts? In the end, we shall make thought crime literally impossible because there will be no words in which to express it, unquote. As you change the definitions of the words and then take other words off limits, oh, you're not allowed to say things like that, you don't even have the ability to communicate. This isn't good. This isn't right. Justice. Everyone's for justice. But we see that the definition has been changed. Justice is getting what you deserve, what you have earned. That's what justice is. But they've redefined that now on the left to mean justice is getting an equal share of everything. That's what is just, when that's not true. But as you change the definitions like that, everyone gets where you can't even communicate. And then to say the definition of justice is getting what you deserve and what you have earned, that is racist. That's hateful. How dare you say something like that? That's not true. They accuse you of speaking lies when you're simply stating the truth. That's right where we are. And then America today, with the elites, the globalists, and big governments, this is so key here about doublethink. This is the era we have already entered. And it seems to a logical person with common sense, it's not possible for someone to really enter this world of doublethink. But here's what it is from 1984. Quote, "To know and not to know, to be conscious of complete truthfulness while telling carefully constructed lies, to hold simultaneously two opinions which canceled out, knowing them to be contradictory and believing in them both." So you know two things are contradictory, but you still believe in them both. I mean, I just thought that one comment there, that's like carbon dioxide. Everyone that studied biology for 1 second knows carbon dioxide is plant food. That's why greenhouse growers pump in and double, triple, and quadruple the level of carbon dioxide inside the greenhouse so plant growth explodes. So everyone knows that because you've studied that in school, photosynthesis and all the details of that. And yet at the same time, they hold the belief that to be part of the green movement, you have to be against CO2. We need to get to zero, net zero, by 2050, where we're not putting out any CO2, which of course would kill all plant life, which of course would make everyone on the planet die. But you can believe those two opposing things and go, yeah, there's no contradiction there. Well, that's where we are. It's really crazy. To use logic against logic is exactly what they do. To repudiate morality while laying claim to it. Yeah, they hate morality. Oh, being faithful in your marriage and, well, you guys are against pornography. Why would you be against it? There's nothing wrong with that. And then they're taking the moral high ground. Like, we're moral and you're not. This is written in 1948. And he was picturing a future that was so black and so evil, it's hard to comprehend. And I'm just telling you, we are there. We just have conveniences to make us feel like, oh, no, everything's fine. It's not fine. To forget whatever it was necessary to forget, then to draw it back into memory again at the moment when it was needed, and then promptly to forget it again. That's what it's just all inconvenient truths of inconsistencies. That's the whole world we live in today. They're spewing Fauci 1 week that a mask doesn't do anything for you. And a couple weeks later, you have to have two masks on. It's like both of those statements can't be true. And people just accept them. Oh, well, 2 weeks ago, it was not good to have a mask on. But today we need two of them. And not thinking, well, that's illogical. They don't care about that. And above all, to apply the same process to the process itself, that was the ultimate subtlety. Consciously to induce unconsciousness, and then once again to become unconscious of the act of hypnosis you had just performed. Even to understand the word doublethink involved the use of doublethink. When you destroy all logic, reason, and common sense, and things don't have to make sense, you're living in a society of doublethink. And that's exactly where we are today. Winston Smith was the protagonist in the story of 1984. And everywhere Winston goes, the party watches him through the telescreens. It was like a TV which had just been invented in the world, but where they could see you through the TV set. Now, of course, we all carry an iPhone with us, so they have a... They're videoing and listening to everything that we say. We have Alexas in our home that are literally just listening all day long and listening for their name. But obviously, if you're listening all day long, you can record all the conversations in that home every single day. So this is we're so far beyond 1984 because of the technology. He could never have dreamed a society where people would voluntarily carry a video camera and recording voice around with them all day long, where the government then could just keep track of where they're going even. and who they're talking to. They can tell when two cell phones are right next to each other, so they know you're talking to that person, and they can keep track of that data. Well, here's all the people they spend time with. Here's all the places they go, the stores they visit. We know that's already being captured. Verizon sells that. So then ads will pop up on your computer at home of any store that you've been shopping at. And they say they sell that data because they know by your phone records exactly what stores you go into, what restaurants you eat at. So then they know, okay, put an ad up for that restaurant. He likes that. He goes there all the time. But in that world, Winston, he works at the Ministry of Truth. And what is his job? It's the altering of historical records. That's what he does for a living. So he's right there where he sees history being changed and altered. And he knows it's not good, but he's in this society where you're in total fear for your life. But he wants to stand up and he wants to make a difference. He has this girlfriend, Julia, and it's someone he can confide in and go, okay, we're both against the Big Brother, aren't we? Yes, we are. And they have a friendship with this one guy, O'Brien, who they thought was for the Brotherhood too. Brotherhood was the resistance to Big Brother. It was supposed to be like a Tea Party. It's the Tea Party group that's going to, no, we're not for what you're doing. And but unfortunately, the guy they thought was part of that wasn't. And here it talks about it here a little bit. Torn away from Julia and taken to a place called the Ministry of Love. Isn't that interesting? What do you think the Ministry of Love is if you haven't read that book? Knowing the world they live in where everything is flipped. Yes, it's where they torture people to get them to submit. Winston finds that O'Brien, too, is a party spy who simply pretended to be a member of the Brotherhood in order to trap Winston into committing an open act of rebellion against the party. Then O'Brien, his supposed friend, spends months torturing and brainwashing Winston, who struggles to resist. And I won't even go into it because it's so graphic, and I don't even recommend you reading the book. You don't need to expose yourself to evil to understand it. But the heart of man, there is no pit and there is no bottom to it. And the tortures they do to him are at that level. Through psychological intimidation and physical torture, O'Brien breaks Winston's will until he cannot answer for certain whether 2 + 2 = 4 or 5. That was one of the key focuses of the book. Everyone had to submit to the idea that 2 + 2 does not always equal 4. Even though they knew, yes, it does. And finally, they would know when they had been successful manipulating people, when they would agree 2 + 2 doesn't always equal 4. It could equal 3 or 5 as well. And he concedes that point, that under certain philosophical or theoretical concepts, that it might equal 5. Then finally, he gives in to accept the answer to 2 + 2 is whatever the party says it is. This is the satanic lust for power that many parents are waking up to right now all across this country, realizing, wait a minute, they haven't been giving my children a poor education. That would be one level of travesty. They've been giving them a brainwashing education. And that's why they're lying to our children. For that very point, they want the children to know that 2 and 2 equals whatever they say it equals. Don't you question authority. That's the whole thing there. Do you understand that? Lord Bertrand Russell, one of the people I talk about in Agenda Grinding America Down, 100 years ago said, we'll know when we've been successful in the educational system when the students are convinced 100% that snow is black. This isn't a joke, people. This was portraying the future that we hoped wasn't going to come about, but it is coming about if we don't stand against it and say enough is enough. And then toward the end of the book, in the novel's final chilling moments, after being so abused and tortured and twisted, Winston reflects on how foolish he has been. And the last phrase of the book is this, quote, he had won the battle over himself. He loved Big Brother, unquote. They finally beat him down. That's what they're trying to do to our children. That's what they're trying to do to us. And we have to say, no, thank you. The elites right now are rising up worldwide and trying to destroy anybody. They're going for that 2030 goal of total control of the world and the Great Reset, and they're eliminating anyone who can hamper their plans. And we're seeing an example of it in Canada, in Australia, in New Zealand, in the European countries, and in America, and it's growing every day. But Brunel supposedly committed suicide. He was the right-hand man of Epstein. And of course, just like Epstein, this guy's found dead in his cell, and all six cameras just happened to be turned off at the moment he died. So we're not really sure what happened, but it looks like suicide. People, we have to wake up. They are eliminating those who don't agree or who can threaten their power. Epstein, Brunel, and all these people, they knew all the sickos in power worldwide who had come and done evil things with them on their island. And the elites are not going to be exposed for the satanic people that they are. Remember John McAfee last summer? I mean, he committed suicide in his cell. And he had said months before he died, if they say I committed suicide, it's a lie. I would never do that. I have terabytes of information on the American government and how evil and corrupt it is to the core. And I'm going to let this stuff out. And then all of a sudden, he committed suicide in his prison cell. We got to remember these things. It's coming at us so fast, it's easy to, what's happening? But we have to remember the narrative. The elites will do anything to keep and gain power. Anything. Just like 1984, anything they can get away with, they will do. Tyranny almost always comes under the guise of liberalism, too. That's what we're seeing in Canada. It's always a movement for the people. Almost every country the communists took over in the 20th century, it was a movement behind it that's for the people, which is a lie. It's not for the people. It's for power and control. Castro came to power in Cuba by that same means. It's a people's revolution. What did he do after a few months of, once he had control of everything? He started executing anyone who disagreed with him. Gustav, a friend of mine who grew up there, he said one night they were eating dinner in their home, and live on the evening news, his uncle was brought out in front of the military there and executed. I mean, his mother's brother, white while they were watching on TV. And he was like, he's an enemy of the state. And they knew their uncle, of course. And no, he was just a farmer. He didn't do anything. But they were making an example out of him to build the fear so everyone would just do as they are told. That's the ultimate goal of liberalism and totalitarianism. And we see that exact thing going on right now in Canada. They're seizing the bank accounts, and then they're also talking about taking more of the firearms. They've already had so many firearms up there eliminated. They're illegal. But there's a few left they can still have, and they're talking about, there's too many weapons in Canada right now, so they're looking at ways of doing that. It's going nuts. And the doublethink is this. Remember the doublethink? When you hold two ideas that are contradictory, but you believe them both. Here's what the party line is right now in America and in Canada and throughout the world. We have to do away with your constitutional rights to protect and preserve your constitutional rights. Think about that. That's what Trudeau is saying right now. We have to eliminate all constitutional rights or charter rights, as they're called up there, so we can preserve your charter rights. That's the double thing we're putting up with, and we need to say, no, gracias, I'm not interested in your foolishness and in your lies. So the convoy, the Freedom Convoy in Canada, their trucks right now are being auctioned off. There was never charges pressed against them. Their bank accounts are seized, and anyone that supported them is paying the ultimate price, losing jobs, losing insurance, and losing their ability to provide for themselves. They're torturing them by seizing their assets. We have to remember this. Whenever you have to obey police officers, no matter what they say to you, okay, whenever that's the case, like in Canada, when a police officer is telling you have to leave Ottawa, when you are allowed under your constitution to have a peaceful protest, but you're told you have to leave anyway. Well, you know something very clear instantly. That means you're living in a police state. The police is the authority, and they can tell you anything. You have no rights. No, there's nothing there for you. Well, that's the way it's been in China for years. Do you know in China, and I talked about this in Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, Bob Fu, who grew up in China, says a police officer can write you a ticket in China and give you a 3-year sentence in a labor camp, and you have no due process. It's not like you get to go to court then and say, hey, what he said, I didn't do that. No. The police individually has enough power to send you to a prison camp for 3 years. No one questioned. No, it's the way it is. So do you think you're going to disobey the police officers in China? No matter what they tell you to do, if they tell you, give me money, or I'm going to write you a ticket, or whatever else they might ask you to do. Of course not, because they have that totalitarian control. That's where they are. Here's one last quote from 1984 as I begin to wrap up. But stay with me, because I know this is heavy, this is intense, but it doesn't relieve us of our duties to stand against this, and that's what we'll talk about in a second. But listen to this. This is just the reality today. And this was from a book in 1948. And our founders understood this crystal clear. But as you hear George Orwell talk about the state, you'll realize that's what our government's like today. We already have this government. This is what it is. It's not coming someday. It's already arrived. Listen to this. And this, I believe, this was O'Brien talking to Winston as he was torturing him, telling about why the state wants power. This is why. And listen to this, what he said. Quote, now I will tell you the answer to my question. It is this. The party seeks power entirely for its own sake. We are not interested in the good of others. We are interested solely in power, pure power. What pure power means, you will understand presently, as he was getting ready to torture him. We are different from the oligarchies of the past in that we know what we are doing. All the others, even those who resembled ourselves, were cowards and hypocrites. The German Nazis and the Russian communists came very close to us in their methods, but they never had the courage to recognize their own motives. They pretended, perhaps, they even believed that they had seized power unwillingly and for a limited time, and that just around the corner there lay a paradise where human beings would be free and equal. We are not like that. We know that no one ever seizes power with the intention of relinquishing it. Power is not a means, it is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. And that's what communism always did. The object of persecution is persecution. The object of torture is torture. The object of power is power. Now you begin to understand me. Unquote. Our founders understood that man was desperately wicked, like the Bible says, above all. And you can never give him the power that is not in check and not doesn't have some kind of safeguard on it, because he will ultimately abuse you if you do. And so what are some things that we do? Well, here's a key thing that we do, and this is very important. This is one of the keys to living in a time like we're living in, where there's double think, there's propaganda, there's newspeak, there's just crazy things going on. Here it is. The trick is not to be isolated. If you're isolated like Winston Smith in 1984, then sooner or later you're going to break, as he finally broke. That was the point of Orwell's story. In fact, the whole tradition of popular control has been exactly that, to keep people isolated, because if you can keep them isolated enough, you can get them to believe anything. But when people get together, all sorts of things are possible. That is the key, people. They're trying to isolate us all. by getting us so obsessed with technology and entertaining ourselves. We don't really know anybody. We don't spend time with anybody. And if we ever do, we're not talking about meaningful things that knit our hearts together. Look at the trucker convoy, how the courage they showed coming there, and then the courage the people showed that came out to cheer them on. It fed on itself, and it gave them great courage to stand because they weren't isolated. They were standing together. It's so easy to stand together, and it's almost impossible to stand alone. You have to be connected with like-minded people that you get together with on a regular basis to encourage, to plan, to discuss, and to be there for each other. God intended us to be knit together to many, many people in our circle of influence in a close, meaningful, loving way. And they don't want that. And they isolate by, again, tormenting those who are trying to group together, trying to come together for a cause or purpose. And that's what's happening. This is the game. Technology is helping tremendously. Don't ever isolate. Be around like-minded and talk about things that matter. That is a key. That is so important. As Christians, we're supposed to be doing that anyway. But we're entering just a really interesting time in American history and in world history. And as I've told you 1,000 times before, God's the one that chose us and chose you to be born for such a time as this. He chose that. You didn't. I didn't. So we realize He's put us here for a purpose. And I know it's to stand for the truth. I know it's to be a great light and expel the darkness and to be a salt that preserves and protects and purifies. So I know that's where we are, but that's what we have to remember. And our verse this week reminds us of what we are to do and how important it is that we do what God has asked us to do. Here it is, 2 Timothy 1:7. Listen, you have to memorize this, all of you. Write it on a card. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Did you hear that? That's what we've got to do. We are not supposed to be fearful of this. We are supposed to be enraged by it, where we stand up with more resolve to stand for the truth. That's the way we love our neighbor. When we see a totalitarian society is enclosing around our neighbors and our friends and our family, and people around the world, we have to say, no, 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 no. You cannot do that. Those are my neighbors. Those are my family. Those are the people God has commanded me to love. And so I got to stand. I don't care what the price is. I have to stand thoughtfully, together, and in the right way, with a loving, with the power of love and a sound mind. We're thinking clearly about things. We're not overreacting. We're not just jumping into things, but we are standing because we must. Last thought, if we fear them, they've already won. Just like in 1984, once everyone is in so much fear where they will not do what they know is right, the enemy has won. We can never allow that to happen. Watch this clip as I close here and be encouraged to stand like this Romanian man. He'd already lived under communism. And then in Canada, he's peacefully protesting, and he comes out of his truck with his hands behind his head to surrender, and they start beating him. And then Tucker Carlson interviews him for a minute and asks him about that, and just the courage I gain from watching him say, oh, I'm never giving up, ever, is what we need to do for each other. Just remember, when you stand with courage, it infects all those around you. And that might be exactly why God had you born for such a time as this. Watch this clip, and I'll see you next week. God bless you.
Several protesters who were there said that a trucker in an orange jacket called Chaba Vizi was attacked by police officers during the crackdown. We reached Chaba Vizi, and he confirmed it and provided this footage. It shows him exiting his cab calmly, kneeling down in front of his truck, and clasping his hands behind his head. Watch.
I'm proud you are here.
Oh, here you are.
I don't speak French.
It's very hard. But you don't lose.
No, I'm not.
Second battle.
So let me out, I'll be back. I'm going down on my knee, hands behind my back. Okay. I'm so ready.
Because
I know. I'm peacefully protesting.
So the man surrenders on camera, and then he's kneed repeatedly into submission. Now, as promised, we're joined by Chaba Viziz, one of the truck drivers who was attacked by Justin Trudeau's police. He arrived in Canada, by the way, after fleeing communism in Romania. He joins us tonight. Mr. Viziz, thanks so much for coming on. So, thank you. So the video that we showed appears to have you surrendering peacefully to the police, and then the next we see you're being kneed in the ribs by Justin Trudeau's men. Did you fight them?
No, sir, not at all. I get down from my truck. I went down right on my knee. I put my hands behind my head, and I was waiting them to take me away. They dragged me in. They lie me down on my belly. I don't recall how many of them they was on top of me. They were squeezing the air slowly, slowly. I feel like I was beaten, but I took it like a man.
So well, good for you. At least someone's behaving like a man. You seem to be having trouble breathing. I could hear it through my earpiece. Were you injured by this?
Yes. They break my body a little bit, but not my spirit.
Not your spirit. Is this now? So you lived, if I got it right, under Ceausescu in Romania. Is this? Did you expect this kind of behavior in the formerly free nation of Canada?
No, sir, not at all. When I moved to Canada, you know, everything was wonderful. People, they are talking with you on the street without knowing you, like asking you, hey, how are you? You know, I never experienced stuff like that before. So I was, like, so happy. I said, geez, that's so nice. You know, everything was beautiful in Canada in the last 20 years, I can say. But the last 2 years, it's like impossible to live here anymore.